I'm glad to be here. I want to talk to you about a program that we started a few years ago at the University of Tennessee, basically on herbicide stewardship. The area that I work in primarily is in pasture and hayfield weed control. And I define stewardship in that arena basically as keeping 2,4-D and all the other auxins in pastures and not on high-value crops. Now, y'all didn't come here for me to talk to you about tobacco. And I didn't come here to talk about tobacco, but historically, in Tennessee, we have grown, burley tobacco has been an extremely important crop to us. That has declined substantially due to offshore production now. But that's when we learned the sensitivity of tobacco first and then some other broadleaf crops to the auxin herbicides such as 2,4-D. Now, of course, we grow a lot of tomatoes commercially and in home gardens. Tomato, of course, being in the same family, is equally or more susceptible to injury from drift rates of auxin herbicides than tobacco. Now, I'm old enough to remember the Brill Cream commercials, and I've got a couple of colleagues, Dr. Sams and Dr. Deaton, in the back that probably remember them. But the theme for those old commercials for this hair cream is a little dab will do you. And you can apply that, in my opinion, to 2,4-D and the other auxins to sensitive crops like tomato and particularly like grape. So a little bit that gets astray will do a lot of damage and cost people a lot of money. This, is, of course, is grape. This situation is where a gentleman had done, like we have a lot of people in Tennessee do, they put in small vineyards in what used to be a pasture near the house. And this guy did a good job, and this was the middle of the summer, about 95 degrees, and he filled up the sprayer with 2,4-D ester, which is a very highly volatile formulation of 2,4-D, and sprayed the pasture around it. He picked a good calm day, but this was what vapor drift does. And, you know, these vines aren't going to die, but he had to buy his grapes at Kroger for the rest of the year. So, and again, a bunch of ornamentals. Nursery production is big for us in Tennessee, in the McMinnville, Tennessee area. And again, a little bit of auxins go a long way. And a lot of the nursery production, particularly in Warren County and Coffee County, you'll have row crops just right across the turn row from them, or auxin herbicides like dicamba. And to a lesser degree, 2,4-D are used. So, yes, a little bit goes a long way in terms of keeping, in terms of causing damage and keeping the lawyers working. So, you know, suffice it to say that many fruits and vegetables and ornamentals are very sensitive to drift rates of synthetic auxin herbicides. And herbicides are often blamed for many problems. That's just natural. Weather can enhance problems. We saw the effect of high temperature on 2,4-D drift. I have gotten a lot of calls, and our county extension agents and dealers have gotten a lot of calls over the years to diagnose problems. The real thing that we're trying to attack with our educational program is that last point, in that most problems are very, very preventable. The gentleman that treated around his grapes, that was very, very preventable. But, again, a teaching moment that we missed. Let's just put it that way. How do problems occur? Let me count the ways. Wrong herbicide choice, misapplication, weather, contaminated sprayer and water sources, carryover, herbicides with a long half-life, off-target movement or drift, sprayer droplets, a lot of that high pressures that produce fines, and vapor drift. We're unfortunately in Tennessee experiencing a lot of off-label applications with auxin herbicides in hillside pastures with mist blowers. Scares me to death. Every acre of it is illegal. You cannot manage the drift with mist blowers. So, many costs with off-target movement. Again, I made the statement that it keeps lawyers busy. Yes, it does. Costly litigation, bad publicity for the industry. Extension agents and industry people spend a lot of time chasing complaints when they could be doing other things. County agent could be working on his program. A specialist could be working on a publication. So it does cost us time. Of course, that's what we're here for. We work for the taxpayers. Additional new restrictions. And lastly, which is very, very important, rarely does EPA outright ban a herbicide or any other crop protection chemicals, what they will do is they will layer on, EPA and then some of the state departments of agriculture will layer on more and more restrictions, which again reduce the value of that compound to the point where a company can say, hey, I don't make enough money on this molecule to keep it registered, so I'm going to let it die on the vine. Real big cost. It never was simple, but back in the day, basically telling people to use clean water, clean sprayer, a dedicated sprayer for pastures, don't spray when it's windy and don't spray when it's hot, would solve most of the problems. Aminopyrrolid, which was a game changer in terms of pasture weed management for horse nettle and tall ironweed and a lot of other species we couldn't control, is definitely a game changer. Improved weed control, but it's a material that keeps on giving. It has a half-life of over 100 days, and a little bit, like grill cream, goes a long way. A couple of 3 years after registration, Dow came out and put this graphic on the front of their container. If you follow it, basically, it says, it doesn't break down in composting. Don't spread manure that's from cows that have been fed or grazed on treated fields and put them on broadleaf crop fields. So again, kind of complicated, but I will say that Dow has done, a commendable job of self-regulation in some cases to try to manage this issue. Okay, when aminopyrrolid came out, it basically told us we need to really get serious about this in Tennessee and spend less time following complaints and more time in program planning and creating educational programs. So our program basically has two functions. One, to help reduce the impact of off-target damage, to help prevent it, and then lastly, to help in unfortunate cases of suspected cases with diagnosis. We've been very fortunate to receive outside funding for this. Our first funding came from Philip Morris International. That was an original tobacco proposal, and we've expanded out from there, and we're very thankful for our commercial partners. Again, why this is, aminopyrrolid is a great herbicide for us in our forage systems, but it takes management and record keeping. Harvested hay from a treated field will contain aminopyrrolid, which is very safe to cattle, but it does not break down in dry hay. Of course, these guys eat it or graze on a treated pasture, and that's a certified East Tennessee Union County cow pie. But again, the point here is if they're fed treated hay or grazing in a treated pasture, it goes through the animal, comes out unaltered, either in urine or feces. And so that's a dose of aminopyrrolid right there. And that's like tobacco. Using tobacco as an example, again, if you follow that, that's what you get. This is an interesting picture here. This is either a big garden or a small truck patch. I think it's probably a big garden. But looks good back here in the corner, but up the front, look here, it grades to stunted plants to nothing. Short story long, this was a pasture or moreover a loafing or feeding area the previous year. The hay ring was right here. It had hay that had been treated with aminopyrrolid, which leached into the ground. It's going to be there for a while. So again, very preventable. Teachable moments. We just got to try to do a better job of getting out in front of them. We focused on four high-value crops in Tennessee, originally tobacco, tomato, cotton, and grape. The herbicides we chose, aminopyrrolid, aminocyclopyrrolid, which is MAT-28, or it was originally a DuPont product. Now Bayer owns it. It's only sold in right-of-way. Method is the trade name, dicamba, and picloram, which is an old substituted pyridine that's been with us a long time. Components of the product and products that we've developed, we do a lot of meetings and field tours, training materials and fact sheets. We have an educational display that we use at trade shows, a library, probably about 10,000 still images that we need to get cataloged better, and time-lapse videos. We've done several of those, and I'll show you one of those that shows symptomology development over time. And then really the core of our program is our website, all lowercase herbicide stewardship. .com. That's really what we're really the centerpiece of our program. No shortage of educational opportunities. You'll notice my co-worker. Many of you know Dr. Tom Mueller in the top left. There's my backside with a bunch of farmers in Monroe County, Tennessee, and then one of Larry Steckel's field tours. So not only are we talking about weed control, but we don't open our mouths without talking about herbicide stewardship. So again, as I've said at least twice, no shortage of teachable moments. This is our display that actually we've got three of these now, and we take these to like the Tennessee Forage and Grassland Council, for example, which is attended by 95% of the folks there are cattle producers. We had a field day 2 weeks ago that I participated in at the Highland Rim Station, where tobacco producers were there, and so we always bring our display to those type of events and hand out fact sheets and things like that. This is what we're most proud of. This is our website, and I'm no web guru. I can come up with content, but very quickly have to pass it off to somebody that's more accomplished in web design than me. I've learned over the years some of the best web designers are actually college students that have had Dreamweaver and really are interested in it, and they work cheap. But anyway, check this out sometime, herbicidestewardship.com. We have a number of fact sheets for tomato, tobacco, grape, and cotton. We have two fact sheets for each crop, one preventing off-target herbicide problems. This one happens to be tomato. And then this is part of the text, reminders on how to prevent problems. And then diagnosis with still images of symptomology. And again, that's just a very small sampling of what's in that thing. Again, descriptions and symptoms for each herbicide. Okay, if this will work, this is pretty cool. This is one of our videos, and I have to compliment my former graduate student, Trevor Israel, who now works for Valent in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, as being the real heavy lifter on this. I just came up with the money and kept him encouraged and kept him paid, mainly. But anyway, this is supposed to show 14 days. It actually stops at 11 for some reason, but... Again, we grew these, and he used Photoshop to string all those stills together. And it's pretty cool. In terms of diagnosing the problem, the stills are much, much better. But these, I like these as they're kind of attention getters, get the people thinking about it. So these are, you can go to our website, you don't have to download them, but click, and you can see them from our website. So that's pretty cool, I thought. Okay, another game changer, dicamba-tolerant crops. I wonder if this technology can be stewarded. I have serious doubts, and I'll just leave it there. I mentioned we grow 95% or better of dicamba-tolerant soybeans. Dicamba is not used on all those acres. Some of the farmers learned very early to buy Xtend soybeans to protect themselves from drift from their neighbors. It's that bad. Thank God for my two excellent research co-workers, Dr. Tom Mueller and Dr. Larry Steckel. They're doing some landmark research, particularly the work that Tom is doing on volatility. Water pH, tank mix, partners, everything in the world can destroy that vapor grip, if you will, in Monsanto's now Bayer's product. So very, very fragile. So, in terms of current and future activities, we're going to obviously maintain and update our website as we go along. Everywhere we talk to growers, we always cover stewardship. And usually hold it to the end, so maybe they'll remember it. Need to do a better job of cataloging and organizing our library of still images. We'd like to explore additional crops and herbicides as time and funding permits, because it's very expensive work. So anyway, this is our sign that's on Alcoa Highway, US 129, which is between Knoxville and the airport. And a recent vehicle count said that there's 56,000 vehicles go by this sign per day. And I was bragging about it at a meeting one day, and one of my coworkers said, "Neil, you realize at least half of those people are texting, and they don't have a clue that that sign is there." So we got a hands-free law in Tennessee now, so hopefully that's going to improve. Folks, I appreciate your attention. I will be around. If we've got any time for questions right now, Chris, I'll rely on you to advise me of that. So. Yes?
With the use of pasture in the forage, what's the grower response to your guys'
It's been a very steep learning curve. I love working beef cattle producers, but in terms of their knowledge and understanding and interest in crop protection chemicals, they're behind row crop producers. Now, some of them, they're one in the same, but they're beginning to realize that mistakes cost them a lot of money.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big ZZ Top fan, by the way, too.
Right.